We have a short passage this morning from Matthew 3:13, and George already gave you the story. So I'm going to give you a little of the background first, because some of us are a little older. Anybody remember the big song in Jesus Christ Superstar? Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Well, this is from that scene, or that's from this scene, more correctly. The first part of Matthew 3 is the story of John the Baptist preparing the way of the Lord. And he had a message for everybody. Repent of your sins and return to God, for the kingdom of heaven is now at hand, near, right about now. He baptized in water, and he said someone who was greater was coming, who would baptize by the Holy Spirit and with fire. And guess who? Showed up. And that's where we come. John at the Jordan. Here we are, Matthew 3:13-17. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. May the Lord bless to us this reading of his holy word and bring us great joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Diane. Last week, I surfing on the web, and I came across a site. I thought, "Oh my goodness, what on earth is this about?" It was an online support and therapy group, and this particular support therapy group is called "I Am Forgetful." That's what it's called. And what happens is that people become part of this group. They write those three words, I am forgetful, and then they go on to tell the stories about what they've forgotten. I'll give you one example, and I want you to know that this is not just a support therapy group for those who are, you know, on in years. This is a 21-year-old young woman, okay? Here's what she writes. She has to start off. I am forgetful. Why did I come upstairs again? I know we've all done it. I feel like I do it a lot and more than normal. And not only that, but today I was sitting in a chair in my room. I got up to grab something on the other side of the room and I forgot what it was the second I got up. I am... Oh, I forgot those words. No. I don't know if you feel like you want me to give you the link to that site so that you can sign up and you can get all the support and the therapy that you need. I know I'm a likely candidate. There's a kind of forgetfulness, that's a little silly in one sense, but you know, there's a kind of forgetfulness that really brings a lot of distress to God. Really deeply upsets God. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2, it says this, and this is a letter that's written to the church in Ephesus, and God says this. He says, I know the things you do. In fact, if the story be told, you do a lot of wonderful things. The story about your church is that there's fantastic stuff that's going on there. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me. And you don't love each other the way you did at first. You've forgotten all about your first love. It's like God is saying, your doing is great, but your loving, that's not so good. And our scripture lesson this morning really narrows in on this, because what Diane read for us is all about the thing that's most important to God. It's all about the loving. Matthew 3:16-17, we've gone through this. It tells this story of how the the heavens were open, and Jesus saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and then it settled on him, and then he heard this voice from heaven that said, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." God the Father was pleased with Jesus, his Son. You know, I just find this, I'm amazed by this. This pleasure of the Father over his Son, and the Son hadn't even done anything that's recorded for us in his earthly ministry. Jesus hadn't taught, Jesus hadn't healed, he hadn't gone to the cross and died, he hadn't come back from death to life, he'd done nothing. I mean, there was no doing. But there was this incredible love that the Father had for the Son. Now how do you figure that? Well, it's all about relationship. It's because Jesus was in relationship with God the Father. And that's the key word of this morning, really, that word relationship. Because relationship comes before all the doing kind of stuff. What brings God the Father the greatest joy is first and foremost relationship. And the Father was pleased with Jesus, not because of what he had done, but because of that relationship. Here, he says this, "You're my son." That's what it's all about. You're my son. Now, most of you, I'm sure, have had the rich experience of going to your children's or your grandchildren's school concerts. Ever been to one of those? I mean, forgive me. But, you know, the quality of some of those production. Oh, Mike's already smiling here. You know, it's not always of the highest level. It's not always that great. But guess what? When Mike went to his share, you're clapping like crazy. You're applauding. Why do you do that? Because of the quality of what you've seen? No. It's because of the relationship. It's because you've got a son. You've got a grandson. You've got a daughter. You've got a granddaughter. It's all about the relationship. And the performance, well, oh, it's all right, but it's secondary. What's primary is that relationship. God the Father lives in an eternal relationship of community and of love in the Trinity with God the Son. And stooped and bent, and the Word became flesh, celebrated this at Christmas, and the Word came and lived among us. And before Jesus even set off in his earthly ministry, God the Father let it be known. God the Father proclaimed it and declared it, "This is my dearly loved Son. He brings me," just in this relationship, "He brings me great joy." You know, there's a parallel in all of this. Not at every point, but there certainly is a parallel in the relationship that God has with you and with you, with us. You bring, as a son, as a daughter of God, you bring God the Father great joy as one of his adopted children. The relationship, the children are going to be learning about Jesus as God's son. The relationship of God the Father, God the Son, is one of nature. The relationship that God has with each one of us is one of choice. It's God making this choice, God calling us into his family, God adopting us and giving every one of us through Christ a new name. And the new name that he gives us is, "You're a deeply and dearly loved child of mine. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're part of my family." It's an incredible thing because before any of your good doing, maybe it would be better to say, in spite of any of our not so good doing, there's the loving. There's the relationship. God's unconditional love for us that brings us into his family. It's all about the relationship. You know, I know not everybody's into resolutions at New Year, but in point of fact, I think, I know this for myself, I'm likely for you too, we're the kind of people who make resolutions all the time, not just at the beginning of a new year. We resolve to do it better next time. We resolve to be smarter about it, the choices that we make. We resolve and we determine that we're going to do it right the next time. Why? Why? Because the time before it, well, let's just not talk about it, okay? We sense that. We know that within ourselves, that it didn't work out so good. And so we resolve and we resolve and we resolve, and we tell God, listen, I'll be more acceptable to you. I'll be someone that you really can love, because I'll get it right. I'll pull it together. I'll get it done. And what we forget, it's that it's the relationship. And it's not the resolutions that we make that give us the real power to change. You know, we're never, ever going to get our lives together. I heard this in what the praise team were singing, that last song. We're never going to get our lives together apart from the embrace of God. This picture that we're given of running into the embrace of God and of God's love. Jesus is the one who says this to us. He says, come to me. Come to me, just as you are with every, this story of Jason Petty, it still rings so. I've seen it numbers of times through the past month and this week and today. And, you know, this expression of the life tattoos becoming a masterpiece, something beautiful. Jesus saying, come to me, I'll give you the power to change. I'll turn your weakness into my strength. I'll change your wounds by the power of my healing. Real life change requires a Jesus relationship. You know, we can think to ourselves, okay, Jesus, what do you want me to do so I can get it better? And all the time, no, it's not about the doing. I just want you to come to me. I want you to come closer to the cross. I want you to let me renew and restore and rescue and redeem and refresh our relationship. And I think that Jesus is saying that to me and to you and to all of us as a church family as we stand here at the beginning of this new year. The word of the Lord coming to us to come to me and let me cover you in the clothing of heaven, the love, the joy. These are the clothes of God. The love and the joy of God. It'll change everything for you, especially as you begin this new year. And how much change will it bring? Well, I think the most powerful change it will bring is that change, that this relationship that gives us the power to forgive. Oh my goodness. You know, unforgiveness is like a prison. It is a prison. I don't know, you know, where that might be resides in you, that, you know, it could be something huge. It could even be just something small, but that place of unforgiveness. You know, you and I, we were not forgiven by God based on our reaching, you know, 8 or 9 on that scale of that goodness scale of 10, and somehow deserving God's forgiveness. We were forgiven because of God's 10 out of 10 magnitude of love for us. That's why we were forgiven. The unrelenting, the holy, the passionate, the unconditional love of God. We're gonna sing about that love of God that never fails, but what we need to understand is that this love that God has for us, this 10 out of 10 love that forgives us, it gives us then, we're empowered by the Spirit of God then to give forgiveness to others. You know, I have to admit, you know, I go through life, I ask myself, Lord, how on earth can I put the brakes on forgiving this individual or this group of people when, you know, you're full force ahead in forgiving me? You don't put the brakes on forgiving me. How can I put the brakes on forgiving others? You know, a God relationship changes everything for us. We love because, quite simply, God first loved us. We forgive because, quite simply, God has forgiven us. And our hearts then begin to change because of our experience of God's great love and joy for us. We don't change. And I totally honor what's going on in the Sunday school right now. And totally honor, really, because I'm the one who's bringing this message. But We ultimately don't change because we learned something in the way of information or Sunday school, or we got some new interesting tidbit about something in the service of worship. It's our relationship with Jesus. That's what it is that gives us the power to change from being an unforgiving person to being a forgiving person. We simply forgive because we've been forgiven. Jason Propaganda Petty, he has a five-minute video. I'm going to close with this. We're not going to show it this morning, but I'll send it out to you by the link to it by email this week, because I think you'd be encouraged by it. But he uses a six-letter word to unpack the life-giving power of this relationship with God. And this six-letter word is this: G-O-S-P-E-L. Oh, somebody awake? Yes, gospel. How does he unpack it? He says this. Let's see if you can follow me. I am no rap artist, believe me. Believe me. God, our sins, paying everyone life. God, our sins, paying everyone life. Friends, as you begin this new year of 2014, you can know and you can receive the new name that this life-giving God has for you, who's chosen you in Jesus as one of his adopted daughters and sons. And that name, know this: wherever the journey of 2014 takes you, whatever you find yourself involved in, whatever it is that you're doing, know this: it's rooted in relationship. Through Jesus, God's Son, you have a new name. You're a child of God. You are a child of God. And you bring God great joy. We're going to sing a song. I'm going to invite the praise team to come forward. We're going to sing a song, Your Love Never Fails. And I want to just pray with you, all of us just praying together, that the Lord will put heaven's power in our song here on earth for us in our lives this morning. Your love, it never fails, Lord God. It never runs out. It never gives up on us. This love that calls us, chooses us, sets us apart, names us as one of your sons, your daughters. We bless your name this morning for this great love. Help us, Lord God, to experience, to know more, to see it clearly, to live out of it deeply, this delight, this joy, this singing with love over us that you do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Overwhelmed, satisfies my soul.
that never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love, in death, in life, I'm confident, covered by the power of your great love. My debt is paid, there's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. On and on and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies my never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love.
On the back of your bulletin this morning, you'll see, there's an outline of the message, but below that, there's a little thing about the life and ministry of Knox Church. And I hope you'll take the time to read that and fill it out.